Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reasley.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got to tell you, I was driving today, and I am always kind of looking when you pass a church or something, and you see the little, their little,
oh, little changeable signs.
Yeah. This wasn't a changeable sign. I'm always looking for those things.
It wasn't?
But I drove by a Christian preschool, and the title, the name of this preschool was Tree of Knowledge Preschool.
Okay.
And I thought, I don't think that means quite what you think it means of all the passages in Scripture. Because if it's just a metaphor about there's a knowledge and we're going to nourish this tree and there'll be knowledge that comes from it, great. But the Tree of Knowledge from Genesis 3 is the one tree you were not supposed to eat. And things did not go well when you ate of the Tree of Knowledge.
You were not supposed to send your child to this preschool. And then parents do, and look what happens, right?
Exactly.
Yikes.
And I just thought, I'm going to share this with Scott when we record.
Cool. You know, the thing is, that's the kind of mistake that, you know, people make until it's too late to unmake it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many things like that where you just think, oh, yeah, that sounds like, and you do it, and then you're like, oh, somebody points it out.
Right.
And you're like, what
did I already sent it to the printers. It's already on the sign.
So dumb. Now it's going to cost me, or I'm just going to have to go with it.
Or how many Christian schools, the mascot is the Crusaders. And you're like,
true.
Guys, it's not the best look there.
Yeah.
Not great history there attached to the church. But that's not the history we're going to talk about today. But I do want to talk about history. I have read quite a few presidential biographies. I did all of them, not all the biographies, but all the presidents, and read a biography for each of them. And it was kind of fun because you'd do one and then you'd read the next person. And so you always have this overlapping history that you're kind of rehearsing as you go, because it'd be George Washington and then you'd hear of his
life. You did them in order too?
Yep. And then you'd do John Adams and you'd hear a little bit about George Washington again, and then you'd get to John Adams and so on and so forth. But what was interesting, sometimes I did several biographies, and depending on the person, they always made sure to hit the highlights. There are particular highlights about the person's life, whether it's when George Washington won as the general, but he did the really notable thing and basically gave up power after being a general. That never really happened in history. You would have the general now becomes the king, and that was notable, so that was always mentioned. Or obviously Lincoln got shot in the theater, that they're always going to mention that in the biography. Or Theodore Roosevelt started the Rough Riders and charges the hill, and that's kind of his military thing. Or Truman has to make the decision about the atomic bomb. You never lose the highlights.
There are moments.
There's always moments.
They're always there. Yeah.
And what I've been thinking about is if you're gonna write that history down, you're gonna get those moments. You don't leave the highlights out. And it strikes me that in the past several weeks, we have experienced as a country, as observers of history, we've seen at least two of those moments happen. If and when someone writes a presidential biography of President Trump, they're going to talk about 2 weeks ago or so when someone attempted to assassinate him during a political rally. And then when they write a presidential biography about President Biden, they're going to write about how he, when he was the presumptive nominee of the party, decided to step down and say, I'm not going to do this, and we're going to essentially hand this to he endorsed Vice President Harris. And those two things, they're going to be in the books. Like if you write anything else down, you better have those. And I just think it's interesting. We are observing, we're always observing history. That's kind of a given. But we're observing notable history. Like if you're writing stuff down, this is the stuff.
Those moments that you're talking about, the last 2 weeks, each included one of the moments, which how many successive weeks have the moments in them? I mean, very few.
In 8 days.
Right. It was just kind of overwhelming. Because to make sense of it now, it's just a lot more work. Mm-hmm. I was telling you before how easy it felt because, yeah, we've done this election before, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be the most important election in history because we've already done it. It's at least second place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not.
Yeah, it wasn't notable for that reason.
It's not that great. And then all of a sudden, things really changed within an eight-day period, like you said. So it is really unusual. And I do think it's important to think about that as, you know, how do you think about it differently? Let's say it this way. How do you think about it differently if you're a Christian than if you're not a Christian? In other words, what is it about your faith in the Lord that shapes the way you view these momentous events? So that's the, I guess that's maybe the question of the day, is how are we going to look at this, and how would we look at it differently than we would if we didn't know the Lord? So one of the, I guess one of the things that I would do is that I would encourage people, first of all, not to do stupid stuff because of it.
You heard it here first, folks. Don't do stupid things.
So guess what? This is like included in every week's podcast, right? Don't do stupid stuff because, oh my goodness, there's always stupid stuff on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. And it's just so tempting, especially if you think something's funny, that you're just going to forward it on. And so please don't do stupid stuff. There you go. That's the first thing. That was extra. That wasn't even
in
the notes.
It's not even in the notes.
No, we don't need it in the notes. We say it every week. So the other thing that's interesting about this is that, you know, you look in I think a lot of times Christians say, ooh, what's the Lord doing in this? What's the Lord doing in that? And, I mean, people did that. I mean, I felt bad. We didn't talk about it when we talked about the assassination attempt, but there's some people just talking about the fact that it was the right ear that got hit, that somehow that goes to the consecration of priests and in the Old Testament, and it was just like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, don't do that.
Yeah, don't.
That's
back to our first point.
Well, it's back to, and it's the transition to the second point, because the second point really is don't read more into something than is actually there. You know, and that's sort of what our whole assassination episode was about. It was people thinking, oh, the fact that he was spared means that God wants him to be the president or something like that. And we're reading something into it that isn't really there. And that's kind of why we did that episode. But the thing is, Christians do this all the time. Not just with the big moments. They do it with all the little moments too. They're thinking about, you know, the cute girl on the other side of the lunchroom, and you know, boy, she like looked up from her coffee. That's a sign from God that I'm supposed to go talk to her. Some crazy thing, right? Or, you know, you're thinking about switching jobs and somebody called you with the wrong number and they happen to be looking for work or are looking for somebody to hire. Or, you know, there are times when you're wondering if God loves you and some check comes in the mail or something, and so you assume that check means that God does. Well, the check means nothing. I mean, God's word that he gave you his son means he loves you. You don't need a check. I mean, for instance, okay, I'll just say, yesterday I thought God loved me. We received car keys in the mail. I'm thinking, what? Is a car coming next? Is it like mail the keys and then the car's going to show up, you know, towed in here and they're going to dump it in? We're going to like win a sweepstakes? What happened? Anyway, it turns out that my dad was somehow at this shop and left them there and left my address as a forwarding address. And so we got his car keys, but it wasn't what I was hoping for.
And yet God loves you.
And I still think God loves me. There you go.
Do you think, I like thinking through this, do you think there, if we were to talk about special providence or general providence, that would be helpful here. Because you're talking about general ways in which God is taking care of the world and things happen to be full of grace, and there's providence and goodness. It's good to have a check come in the mail. It's good to have a job to go to. That might not be a specific intervention as much as it is that God is just doing common grace all the time, and that mm-hmm. things happen and they're good because they're good. And then other times there can be specific. We talked about this a little bit last time, but there could be specific. God is intervening in this in a particular way for a particular reason. And it's almost like you're pointing to God's general providence, saying, God loves me. Well, yes, there's God is generally providing
he's
in the world.
He's already told you that too.
Right.
Though.
But he's told you that in a specific way, and you're only referring to the general. And the more powerful explanation of his love for you is the specific rather than the mm-hmm. general.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But I think that the thing about, you know, if you're reading more into what's general mm-hmm. than you should, you're like bound to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing. Or you're bound to do something stupid, as mm-hmm. I started off with. Mm-hmm. Because you're thinking, you've told yourself this story that God is doing something there that he's actually not doing, but you think he might be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you're telling yourself this story as though it's certain, and then you're acting on that story, and that's where the danger.
A story you're telling yourself.
The story you're telling yourself, not
and you're
not
filling
God's
in all
story.
You're filling in all the details.
All the blanks are.
I would really like to go this direction. If that girl just looks at me, oh my goodness, she looked at me. Now yeah. I'm going that direction because, mm-hmm. of course, God has
right.
decided I do that.
And so, you know, I've seen that happen so many times over the years as a pastor that. I just feel like this is one opportunity to talk about that because it's a way of interacting with the world that, number one, it in all fairness, it is hopeful and it does take seriously God's activity in the world, but you end up going on things that are uncertain, you know, acting mm-hmm. on things that are uncertain mm-hmm. because the, you know, well... I don't know, a bullet nicking an ear and missing a person mm-hmm. doesn't communicate anything in particular,
mm-hmm.
But you read meaning into it. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, the first thing is just don't...
Well, and the temptation is always going to be that the more dramatic the event is, the more, oh, I want there to be meaning to this event. I want there to be a bigger purpose, bigger story, bigger significance... So that's why we're bringing that up. Like, these are significant things that people will write in history books. We don't know the underlying story there.
And we don't know the end of it.
Right.
See, I mean, some of it you can look back on, we will be able to look back on and say, maybe that's what God was doing in that moment.
Or maybe our kids or our grandkids.
Right.
Or
it might take a long, long time. But all that to say, you know, to do that real time mm-hmm. is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you can do some things real time, though, and I think that's important to say, okay, and it may sound the same. I hope it doesn't sound the same, but it might sound the same, and that is that, I mean, God is doing some things. He's doing them all the time,
mm-hmm.
and these extraordinary events maybe make it more clear that he's doing it. Now, namely... we read it last week, Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. He removes kings and sets up kings." Okay? Now, in the dramatic moments, the assassination of Lincoln, for instance,
mm-hmm.
we can be really clear that he was removing a king. He did.
My American government side of me is saying, well, he was a president, but yes.
Sorry.
Sorry. It's a politics podcast.
fair enough. Okay.
If he removes kings, he definitely can remove
presidents.
Lesser, yes.
He can remove governors, sheriffs, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
County commissioners.
Yes. So let's just, okay. Sorry. But yes, he, you know, he was removing a president, clearly. Or clearly when, you know, President Biden said he's not going to seek the nomination next time around, the his time is finished. And clearly in that moment, what was God doing? Well, God was doing this because it tells us he removes kings. And he said, but we don't know. See, what we don't know, because it hasn't happened yet, is whether he's setting up a king or a president. Sorry, almost made the mistake again, didn't I? Is God setting up a president because the bullet missed, you know, Donald Trump? I suppose he might be. Had it hit him, we would know that he wasn't.
Right.
But it, since it didn't, then, but it, we don't know. And so,
when I was being a little facetious with the president thing, but I think it is an important piece because we live in a democratic republic and we vote on the president, we think we are removed from this idea.
Oh.
Because we don't set up God doesn't set up presidents. We set up presidents.
Aren't we special?
Aren't we special? But the means by which God sets up presidents happens to be the democratic process in America.
Normally.
Normally.
Right. I mean, there were, and that's, I think, some of what we're experiencing right now is these things seem out of the ordinary.
Right. And he set up kings, or he set up presidents 8 years ago, 16 years ago, 12 years ago, and he's doing it right now. Right. And the means are different, but the truth remains the same.
They look different to us, for sure. You know, and it's so in some respect, what we saw the other day was Daniel 2:21 in real time. And, you know, you have Isaiah chapter 40, 22 through 24, which is similar. It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth his emptiness. And so the sovereignty of God is on display throughout all, certainly all of the things that we're involved in, even if it's the process. Even if it's the normal way, God is still doing this. But, you know, to say it's just hard to label one activity as this is what God's doing, unless you have something in black and white that says he's removing a king or a president, and he's and the person's no longer there. He's been removed. Then you know. But
when I like that word picture in Isaiah, all the inhabitants are like grasshoppers. My kids are often playing with bugs, and
all the time they're playing.
All the time they're playing with bugs. They're always asking me, make sure to take any pictures of creatures that you see. But they'll play with bugs or crickets or ants or whatever it is, and just the magnitude of an ant to one of my kids is so big. My kid will know what he's doing with the ants. The ants have no idea. They don't even have the right perspective to even understand what my kids are doing with the ants.
Adequately traumatized, yeah.
And I think that distance is similar. God sits above us, and we are just like grasshoppers, and we're trying to go, oh, God's doing this. Like, we have no idea what God is doing, because
the grasshopper
ways are,
has no idea what we're doing. Yeah. Wow.
So there's a couple things. I think another thing, as we're pondering big events, one of the temptations is to think that, oh, historic events are happening. There go my conduct should change. I should do something different. And our historic events should not change our conduct. Our conduct is dictated by God, informed by God, not by the events. And the reason I bring this up is because this happens especially around election, this happens all the time. You'll hear people say, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Thus, you need to do something different than you would do before. I was going to say shackles of conduct. That's not the right language. But the speed bumps I usually have on my conduct, we can get rid of them because this election is too important. You don't need to play nice. You don't need to play by the rules. And those things aren't true. And the greater the event, the more that temptation will come up. But the way we ought to interact in the world is described in Scripture for us. And I like 1 Peter. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That's a great little phrase.
I love that you bring that up in terms of politics. Don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, like how you may have done politics before you were a believer or without Christ. That would qualify as your former ignorance, right? Interesting.
Yep. He says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deed, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. And if you're reading through Scripture, there's plenty of inappropriate fears, and there's only one appropriate fear, and the one appropriate fear is of God. Everything else, it says, do not be afraid. We've talked at length about that at the in this podcast, but there is one appropriate fear, and that's to be have a fear of the Lord, and that will dictate how you live in the world. And elections and big events are recurring temptations to be afraid of something other than God. What the outcome of an election, the establishment of policies you don't like, a politician winning that you don't like, those are all, hey, reasons to be afraid. Hey, reasons to act differently than reasons to act according to your former passions. And I like this passage and this encouragement because it's, hey, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. We are sitting in our time of exile. I don't know what all events we're going to encounter or experience during that time of our exile, but we are to conduct ourselves with fear, and fear of the Lord is the appropriate fear.
Well, and you also highlighted 1 Peter 2, which says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. What great advice. I mean, that's the same advice we've been saying about this whole podcast today anyway. Don't be stupid. But, keep your conduct honorable. And when somebody says that this election is so important that it justifies dishonorable behavior, they're wrong.
Yep.
There you go. It's really that simple. So,
and the end of that sentence in 1 Peter 2, so keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that will happen. You're going to try to be honorable, and they're going to speak at you as evildoers. They may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. That doesn't mean elections will be won. That doesn't mean your policies will happen. But what is the goal? That they see your good deeds and glorify God. That's the point. And if that's your aim, like, I don't know what's happening in the world. It's difficult. It can be scary. It's intense. It's dramatic. What am I here to do? I'm here to glorify God. I want to make sure the things I do go that direction, not some other direction. Because people are going to see it and respond to you. And they may even call you evildoers, like you horrible people for doing that thing. But at the end of the day, God's going to use that to glorify himself.
Yeah, better to be called an evildoer than to do evil. Which if you're encouraged to throw away the good conduct you would normally have that honors God because of the importance of this election or that this is a once-in-a-lifetime problem— and you throw that away, you're doing evil. And then they call you an evildoer, and you deserve it.
And they're right.
That's right. And so hang on and do the right thing and let them call you what they want to call you, but also give them reason to glorify the Lord.
Right.
Yep.
I think another good thing to be to remind myself of, to for us to remember, is just to avoid partisan passion. Some of the events we're talking about have all been political, have all had a partisan filter to them a little bit. One was at a political rally. The other one is the changing of who's running on one side of a partisan ticket. And the temptation towards partisan passion is strong and will continue to be stronger. The bigger the events get, the more it's, oh, this side's going to win or this side's going to win. And you may be removed from that, but my assumption is, if you're listening to this or if you pay attention at all, there's probably a pull to one party or the other. And for me, engaging the news, engaging some political stuff, it's like the most intense type of sporting event you can participate in. And if you allow yourself to kind of observe it as a team scenario, then the passions for partisan activity just keep going up. And I think the more events like this happen, the temptation to go, oh, I'm gonna engage myself in these type of passions, they're going to continue. And I want to remind myself and remind listeners That's not how we're to conduct ourselves, not in a partisan way, but in fear of the Lord.
Well, if you think about like how you responded to the news that, you know, Trump, there was an assassination attempt on Trump's life, but he, you know, was just nicked and wasn't hurt. And how you responded when President Biden decided not to seek the nomination. How did you respond to those? Did you respond in a way that said, oh, good, now, you know, this is sure to help his chances in the election, or this is sure to get a better candidate in there to replace him? Or, in other words, did you respond? See, this is the thing, because my first thought was, well, I didn't respond in a partisan way. But then I was thinking, okay, what kind of partisan questions come up? And it has to do with, you know, possibilities or probabilities, like what, how's this going to help or hurt or change the potential of one candidate or the other getting elected or one party or the other being in power. And that is, then you're thinking like a partisan person. And while you can, I mean, it's not that, it's one thing to think that way or to have that thought. It's another thing for that to govern your heart and control your passions and cause you anxiety.
And direct your affections.
Anxiety and all of that. So, you know, it isn't that you can't think partisanly. It's that it can't control you. And you need to be able to transcend that thought with thoughts about, you know, the glory of the Lord and how he's working in that situation to do what he said he'll do in his word. So there you go.
Well, and I like that little assessment. I as I ponder it, my potential partisan reactions were further up on the list of my initial reactions than I'd like to admit. Like just the thought
of— Did it surprise you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like there was, like with the assassination attempt, there was the first, I think, response was, oh no, I can't believe this happened. This is just a big thing and it's not good. But fairly shortly after that, it was a thought about, oh, what will this do for the election? It was just fairly quick. And similar with—
Well, it was for a lot of people. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know that I had that thought before I heard it, but then it was like, oh, I wonder if that is going to change the election. Yeah.
And I think it's just good to do that little assessment and do that assessment with your own thoughts and not just as a comparison to someone else who's far more partisan than you. Like, well, I'm not that partisan.
I'm not near as ridiculous as them. I'm ridiculous, but not as ridiculous as them. There you go.
Right. I think one other thing, just beware of a desire for more drama. And this is, this might just be a confession booth for me. I don't know. I mean, maybe it relates to you guys. But I think with the way news has become more and more entertainment, it's not just, I still read the paper. Like I try to make it boring. But if you're on social media or you're letting talking heads inform you of what's going on, it's designed to be entertaining. It's designed to keep watching. So the more things that become entertainment, not just declaration of what is news, the more for me it feels like, oh, I'm watching events just like I watch TV, and I want a new twist in the story, and I want more drama. There's like a desire for there to be more things happening, and I've heard kind of the joke like we're watching things happen in the world, and the phrase is like, what will the writers think of next? This is crazy. I couldn't imagine writing it this way, but that's how we kind of watch the world rather than
like there's a person underneath Old Faithful who turns on the spigot, and turns it off. That kind of thing, you mean?
Yeah, just like you're watching shows, and frankly, the stuff that's happened in the last 2 weeks. You wouldn't write that in a show because it wouldn't be believable. Like, we're going to have an assassination attempt, and then 8 days later, we're going to switch the nominee for the other party. That's unrealistic. Let's not write that into the script. But there's a lot of dramatic things happening. And if I don't think about it well, I watch the news for its dramatic effect, not for its just declaration of reality. And if we're thinking about these things, like, we're talking about real people. Real people are being affected by these events. The decisions of these real people are affecting other people. These are image bearers that are experiencing these. And I think my default reaction is to, you see something happen, then, oh, I'm going to go check my national politics Twitter feed and see if there's another new big thing happening, because it's just exciting. It's exciting to watch, exciting to observe. And I would rather my response be, I want to pray for these people because this is a really big deal. It's a really big deal that, like, for instance, President Biden is a really old guy. And going through, I can't imagine what it's like for his family to be working through in public.
Think about that.
I'm old. Yeah. I can't do the press conferences like I should. I have to make these really hard decisions that families do all the time in private. He has to do it in public. And you could talk about whether it was wise to get to this point or not. But regardless, it's happening. And it's happening in public. Those are real things. Those are hard things. Those are difficult things. And I can't imagine doing it in public.
Right.
And I want my response to be, oh, I can't. What's the next twist? I don't want it to be, what's the next twist in this story? I want it to be, oh, I have compassion. I may not agree with this or that, or I want particular outcomes here, but have compassion for that. Or thinking about former President Trump having someone attempt to assassinate him. And then think about his son. Like, his son just graduated high school, and your dad got shot at in a political rally. That's a really big deal. And this is not going to be the last political rally. I can just imagine that family living in fear really for the rest, not just the rest of the campaign season, but probably the rest of his political career. That's a scary situation. And we think about these people as characters in a show, not as people in reality, because we want to be entertained.
Well, that, and I think the conversations you have with other people are largely around entertainment value.
Mm-hmm.
Were, you know, not, you know, no one really comes out and says, were you entertained by, you know, Trump's RNC speech, or were you entertained by Biden's resignation speech or whatever? But they don't come out and say that, but that's why people want to talk about it. So I guess I would just say that because you want to be careful about the way that you handle the conversations even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. And if we remind ourselves that we're talking about image bearers who are involved in great events for sure, but image bearers nonetheless, that allows me to think of them not just as characters in a script, which that creates even more distance, but these are people and they're image bearers of God that are participating in what God's doing in the world, and God's doing things, bringing them up and bringing them down and all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to create even more distance than already is. And look at that's it's really an objectification of people. Like, you are here to entertain me, and I want things to happen a particular way because it's entertaining. And I would rather, and I again, this is more confession than anything, I would rather my response be, oh, I have compassion for these people, and I have reasons to pray that we're different than I had reasons 8 days ago or 14 days ago. And we mentioned Biden and Trump, and I'd add Harris to that as well. I should be praying that she has wisdom and has appropriate abilities, and that the right direction would happen, rather than just go, oh, I wonder what the over-under is now for this election. It's just a horse race. No, it's not. It's more than that.
Well, maybe we should close by doing just what you just said and praying for the people involved here.
Mm.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Oh, Heavenly Father, would you just give President Biden and his family a sense of peace and even resolve that you will see them through the end of his term? And Father, would you just grant them grace, help him to finish strong and be a good president for the next 6 months? Father, I pray that you would just help Vice President Harris as she takes the nomination, and that you would help her to present the strongest and best alternative she can. And Father, pray that you would govern the policies that she promises to enact, and that you would watch over our country if she's elected. Father, pray that you would help President Trump recover, and that his family would not be anxious, and that Father, you would use even this event in his life to change him and his character. And so, Father, we just trust that all these things will just overflow for your glory. And we do believe that these things we have seen are you accomplishing what you say that you do by removing kings and setting up kings. And so we trust that you will remove and set up presidents in the way that is best for your church. And so I pray that, for kings and all those in authority, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in Christ Jesus, and that we might be able to be the church and represent Jesus in the best possible way in these next 4 years. And so that's what we pray for, and we ask that your kingdom would come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review does go a long way to get the news to other people. Share it with a friend. If you have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com, and we look forward to the next conversation. I have nothing to say. All right.
Wow, it's going to be a short podcast.
Yep. 3, 2, 1.